The Government Accountability Office released a report earlier this week that outlined problems in the federal coal leasing system. The report called the Bureau of Land Management's process, quote, out of date, unquote.
The GAO's report said the BLM is inconsistent in how it determines fair market value, did not consistently document the rationale for accepting low bids, and did not use third-party review services to make sure its valuation was correct. It also said the BLM did not consider exports fully when calculating fair market value and lacked transparency about its process.
Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhoroff spoke with Professor of Law at the University of Colorado, Mark Squalacci. He's been concerned for years that the BLM undervalues federal coal and says the American people are missing out on a lot of revenue because of it. That was Wyoming Public Radio's Irina Zhoroff speaking with Mark Squalacci from the University of Colorado Law School.
One of the big issues the report highlighted was the BLM offices did not properly consider exports when calculating fair market value. Exports have gone up, but still make up quite a small portion of total production. So why is that part important?
The reason this whole issue is important is it's not enough just to look at the local market in the Powder River Basin, because we know that the market there tends to be with coal values at a much lower price. But when Powder River Basin coal is being sold in other countries or even in other parts of the country where the values are much higher, that ought to be taken into account in deciding what's a fair return to the federal government when the coal is being sold, let's say, in Appalachia for $50 or $60 a ton, even when the government might be getting, in its bonus bid at least, less than a dollar a ton for that coal. And so fair to ask whether or not there isn't some additional value that ought to be included. Now, in the export market, this becomes perhaps even a bigger issue just because of the amount that at least can sometimes be commanded in the international market for coal. Until recently, the price of coal in China was over $100 a ton. It's now dropped below that, but still it's a substantial amount of money. And again, the amount of profits that the company is making from that coal should be taken into account in deciding what's a fair return to the federal government. But I think the bigger issue is just that we're seeing an increase in the export market, and there's potential for a much greater increase if these export terminals are built in the near future. And so now's the time to sort of get a handle on this and try to make sure that there is a process in place to assure a fair return to the federal government.
Wyoming is the largest coal producer in the U.S. So what are the stakes for the state in having fair market value be properly assessed?
Yeah, I mean, the stakes for Wyoming are huge. State shares essentially equally with the federal government in the bonus payments and in the royalties that are paid on the production of federal coal. So there's a huge amount of money that comes into the state. The concern of the state ought to be whether or not they're getting their fair share. Let's just say that the coal in the Powder River Basin is selling with a bonus bid of a dollar a ton. If that bonus bid was instead $2 or even $3 a ton, then the bonus payments to Wyoming are going to triple.
Well, kind of a follow-up to that, states like Wyoming, which produce so much coal, weren't the ones actually pushing for this report and this information. It was Senator Edward Markey from Massachusetts. So why do you think the West hasn't been as engaged on the issue?
Well, that's been a real puzzle to me, and I have been interested in this issue for a long time, as you know. But I think it probably relates to the fact, first, that they're already getting a lot of money, so while my argument is that they could be getting much more money, potentially in the billions of additional dollars, the fact that they're already getting substantial revenues from this allows them to say that we are capturing a substantial amount of money. And I think there is an element of agency capture here, or the sort of notion that political scientists have that when you have a dominant kind of industry like coal, particularly one that is so important to the economy of the state, that they wield a great deal of influence in the politics of the state. And I think that has probably made it more difficult for the state to look critically at the way in which these valuation services are performed.
Mm-hmm. And I know that Senator Markey did some quick and dirty calculations and estimated that taxpayers are losing or have lost about $200 million in revenue. What do you make of that estimate?
Well, you know, my own view is that that's a very low estimate of the actual losses. I mean, in the Powder River Basin, they've sold almost 8 billion tons of coal over the 22 years of the study. And if the federal government had gotten an additional dollar per ton, which I think is totally realistic, indeed, I would argue that they could probably get more than that. But let's just assume they got an additional dollar per ton for all that federal coal. That's almost $8 billion just for Wyoming and the feds to share in the bonus bid. So there's $4 billion on each side.
I wonder if you could just give a bit of historical perspective. In the 80s, there were concerns that the coal leasing program was also not properly valuing coal. The program was actually suspended while BLM went over that and tried to kind of amend its rules. Senator Markey is calling for a suspension of the current program. So did we just never quite fix it when we went over this in the 80s?
You know, it really is amazing to me to sort of follow the trajectory of the federal coal leasing program. After the Mineral Leasing Act was passed in 1920, there was a lot of speculation in the coal industry. People were basically leasing tracts and not developing it. It was a big problem. Led to a moratorium in the early 70s, and that moratorium resulted in the passage of the reform law, the Federal Coal Leasing Amendments Act of 1975. That law was supposed to fix all these problems, and the government set about to adopt a set of regulations that could help deal with the problem. It led to the sort of failed sales that took place in the early 80s, another big set of problems, and you may recall that the government set up a commission called the Linaways Commission to investigate the sales that were done in the early 80s and try to figure out how to better reform the system. So a new set of regulations came out that helped to deal with the problems that were identified in those early sales. And that's essentially the set of regulations that we're operating under today. But the real irony, I suppose, of that whole story is that we have actually never used those regulations because there's just one little rule in that set of regulations that says that all of this competitive leasing program doesn't apply if you're not in a coal production region. Now, there were originally 6 coal production regions in the United States, including the Powder River Basin. They have all been decertified, and since that time, the competitive leasing program that was supposed to apply under the regulations has essentially gone away. We simply allow companies to decide what they want, and the government just responds to it. There's no proactive administration of the coal leasing program, no real attempt, to my mind, to assure that the government is getting a fair return. And one value, I think, of the moratorium or suspension that Senator Markey is calling for is that we might just sort of take another look in light of the GAO report, in light of the Inspector General's report, and in light of the fact that there's a decline now in the coal market such that there really isn't a need for a lot of new coal leasing, at least not immediately, it gives us a chance, I think, to step back and ask whether we can't do better in terms of the leasing program and assuring fair return to the government.
All right. Well, Mark Squillaci, thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Irina.